do want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's been a privilege to be here as we looked into God's Word and encouraged together. Appreciated that devotion, Brother Roy. Feel like it went along well with what I have to share this morning. Exercising our faith. You can turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 33. I'd like to look at a part of a verse, verse 27. It says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." I know that I have shared these thoughts in the past, but as I looked at these scriptures again for my own encouragement and these truths, I was encouraged and thought that I'd share them with you this morning. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. In the prior chapters, Moses was recounting the children of Israel's experiences as they had journeyed to the promised land, and here he was at the end of his life. At the end, they were nearing the end of their wilderness experience, and he was preparing them for the conquest of taking the land and reminding them of God's faithfulness. Then in chapter 33, he blesses each one of the tribes with a special blessing, and he closes that blessing with these verses here in chapter 33, verses 26 through 29. I think I'll read starting at verse 26. "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone." I'll stop reading there. Such wonderful verses and promises for us as believers. I had to think about how we're like the children of Israel. We're journeying to another place. Life is a journey, and we will arrive at a destination at the end of life. And many in the world, you know, they're like those who died in the wilderness in their travel. They will not see the promised land because they fail to make the arrangements that are necessary for entering heaven. But this morning I would like to make it personal to us. Is the eternal God our refuge? Have we come to him in repentance and accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior? Are we inviting him to be Lord of our lives? If we have, then our journey is no longer a wilderness experience, because we have a refuge. We have a refuge. We have a refuge from the beating sun, or the hot winds, or maybe the gritty sand. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms. Sometimes we forget that we have a refuge. As we face life, and we fight, we try to face obstacles on our own strength. And that's the reason that I share this morning, to remind us of the refuge that is available to us as the children of God. So what is a refuge? Synonyms to refuge would be a haven, maybe a sanctuary. Think about on the ocean, there's arbors for ships to come into for protection and shelter. And so these words explain what a refuge is. Do you feel like you need a haven of protection? I think we all desire this, a haven of protection. Even those in the world that like to maybe act tough, They act bold. Deep down in, I believe they're looking for rest. They desire rest. They desire rest from the slavery of sin. Another way to look at it is, like I already mentioned, a ship on an ocean. At times we face storms, and we must put in at a harbor to wait out the storm. I think we probably have all heard stories of maybe the Coast Guard or something like that, rescuing ships that went out to sea and got caught in the storm when they should have stayed at the harbor. So this morning, are you finding the refuge that a harbor, brings to a ship on a stormy sea? Another point for a Christian to consider is that our refuge comes from an eternal God. Many seek refuge in the fleeting things of time, but so soon they're gone, and they have no shelter. And I was reminded of that song we sing about the foolish man and the wise man. The foolish man built his house on the sand, and when he needed a shelter, when he needed refuge, it was gone, because it was built on sand. Sometimes we try that. When we put our trust in the wrong things, or maybe we lack faith, when we need shelter, it's not there. But this morning, we can find refuge in an eternal God. Psalm 90, verse 1 says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. What does it mean to have an eternal God for our refuge? The blessings are many. Just a few to think about. If God is eternal, then nothing will ever happen that is new to him. He's always been a part of the affairs of mankind since man was created. These verses here in Psalm talk about from generations. So he's always been involved, and nothing is new to him. Part of being eternal is that he will always be in charge of his creation. He always was, and he always will be into the future. Never will God cease to exist. Sometimes we think that we face new challenges, new pressure. Maybe we face a prevalent evil that seems new to us. But I think if we review history, we find that much of what we face has been before us. It just seems new to us. But to God, it is not new. And the same strength that he has imparted to the saints of old, to the saints before us, the same strength that saw them through will see us through also. Because God is eternal, he is a sure refuge, and he will always be there. I thought of a few Bible examples who found refuge as they faced adverse circumstances or storms. And the goal of looking at these examples is to find the way to the shelter God gives his children. So you can turn to Isaiah 36. I'd like to think a little bit about King Hezekiah and the challenge he faced. Isaiah 36, starting at verse 13. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and said, Hear ye the words of the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king. Now Hezekiah was the king of the Jews, and Rabshakeh was with the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and eat ye every one of his vine and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one of the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of King Assyria? In other words, the king of Assyria was trying to scare the children of Israel. He was trying to scare King Hezekiah, their leader, into making a league with them and paying the taxes and being their servant. Notice how the king of Assyria, his messengers, attacked Hezekiah and the God of Israel. Hezekiah was facing a time of trial. How would he respond? Would he fearfully give in to the pressure exerted on him? Would he try to wiggle out of this tight place on his own intuition and wisdom? Well, let's find out. Let's go to chapter 37, and I'll read verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy, for the children are coming to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say unto your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. I'll stop reading there. So, the prophet Isaiah assured Hezekiah that God would deliver him and their people, but Rabshakeh wasn't done yet. So he wrote a letter to Hezekiah with more threats. I'll start reading again at verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent unto Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and then he goes on and tells what will happen to the Assyrians, and as was told earlier, the angel of the Lord came and smote the camp of Assyrians, and many people died. The angel of the Lord worked on the behalf of God's people. Hezekiah found a place of refuge when he was on trial. That place was in the house of the Lord in prayer, communing with God, beseeching his mercy for his people. I see Hezekiah letting his own defenses down to let God work for them, to let God work for him. Have you ever wondered why Hezekiah didn't call his army together to go out and fight against the Assyrians? Hezekiah was a great king. He was very wealthy, and I believe that he had a strong army. But instead, he went to the house of the Lord to seek direction and to seek God's help in this matter. He went without any tools of his own for defending his country. This morning, I think that's how we find refuge in God. There are things we find security in life, but we must lay them down to rest in God, and that requires faith. But when we step out in faith, God is faithful to us. Now, when we walk with God in faith, we must continue to do what he tells us to do to receive his protection. God could have told Hezekiah to get his army together and go out, and I will deliver them into your hand. He did that many times in the Old Testament. That would have required faith also. But this time he chose a different method of deliverance. We need to continue to walk in faith as God directs us. I also noticed that in this time of trial, Hezekiah had fellow helpers. He had messengers to go to Isaiah. He had Isaiah to give him God's direction. He had people to help him in this matter. This morning, God has not put us believers alone in this world, but he gave us each other, the brotherhood, to help us in times of difficulty. I believe the church is one of the greatest tools that God uses to help his children find refuge in a time of trial. Anytime we need a refuge, whether it's trials that we're facing, maybe it's a temptation, maybe we're going through a time of grief, isn't it a challenge to increase our faith when we think about how many years before Hezekiah God gave the children of Israel this promise that I read in Deuteronomy? He gave a promise of refuge, and though all that time passed, Hezekiah still found that place of refuge in God, and we can find that place today, although the years have passed. The next character I want to consider is Noah. I think most of us know the story well of how men became so wicked that God decided to destroy the world with the flood. Noah found refuge in the ark. Because Noah was a righteous man, he found grace in the eyes of God, and God saved him. I think for Noah, the time of building that ark was a time of testing, a time of temptation. But again, he found refuge in God. I would imagine that as he was building that ark, his ungodly neighbors ridiculed him, made fun of him. Maybe sometimes even his own family were like, "Really? Is this what God wants us to do?" I'm sure that he faced times of temptation to give up. But we find that Noah also communed with God. God came down to him. God talked with him in Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. He gave him his word, and Noah believed God's word and he acted upon it. All through the years as Noah built the ark, I believe he was preaching to his neighbors of the judgment to come. I believe that he was taking refuge in God's word or message that God had given him. Today, God needs people who do that. Men and women who take a stand for him in the face of temptation, because it's the way he has instructed us, and we need to believe him. Because we believe him, we take a stand for him. Faith in God through Jesus Christ will lead us to find refuge in his word. Whatever we're facing, there are answers in God's word to instruct us on the right way to take. Let's remember that for us to find, to truly take refuge in God's word, we must, like Noah, find grace in God's eyes. And that only comes from having an up-to-date relationship with him. The third person that I want to think about who found a place of refuge is Apostle Paul. And this Well, you can turn in your Bibles to Acts 27. Paul was on his way to Rome as a prisoner, and he was on a ship that was in a very bad storm. Against his advice, the shipmaster decided to set sail during the stormy season. It was very risky, but he decided to go anyway against Apostle Paul's advice. And it wasn't long until the trouble began. Acts 27, I'll start reading verse 14. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, and running under a certain isle, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Apostle Paul found a place of refuge, even though the storm was raging outside the ship. I believe in his heart he had the calming presence of God with him. Outwardly, circumstances were cause for fear and anxiety. At least, I would have been afraid if I was in those circumstances. But he found refuge in committing his life into the hands of God. He was ready for whatever God had for him, whether it was life or death. And I believe this is a lesson that he learned because of the many perils he had faced in his ministry. In Philippians 1, we have his testimony where it says, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We also know that Apostle Paul had a heavy burden for the souls of his fellow men. Many times he was rejected. His message was rejected. But in this particular account, it seems God, it says here, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. I think many times God gives us blessings like this to reassure us of his presence and direction in our lives as we follow him through the storms, as we rest in him through the storms. Psalm 37 verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Can we as followers of Christ find refuge in this promise? I think we can. Just knowing that God is in charge of our pathway, and he will lead us in the way that is best for us. The storm will not be too great for us to bear, but neither will the way be so easy for us that we forget the one who saved us from the wilderness. I believe God does put situations in our path that either cause us to become bitter toward him or cause us to lean on him and find refuge in him. One of the things that I notice in each of these examples, these men's experience, is that God did not remove the storm. They went through the storm, but they found refuge. They found refuge in God because of the experience. I want us to remember that this morning. Our lives are not free from adversity, but we're promised strength, grace, and spiritual protection. And that is real refuge. That's real refuge in a world that's full of strife and a world that's full of heartache and grief. We also experience peace in our hearts when we stay in the refuge of God's protection. We can find comfort in the fact that God is for us. The verse we started with this morning says, "Underneath are the everlasting arms." God's desire, his heartthrob, is to hold us in his arms. Just as a father reaches down to comfort his child, so God does for us. And then the last verse we read speaks of his delight being in us. I think we can, we're familiar with being delighted in something. We all have things we delight in. We love them. We care for them. We protect them. That's the way God does with his children. So in closing, let's remember, refuge is available from God. We need to walk with him by faith and lay aside our own securities and come to him in prayer and worship and standing on his word.